Would you pray with me as we begin our worship service? Holy God, we are so thankful for this sacred hour. Lord, it is sacred because you, God, are holy, and because, Lord, here in this place with these people, Lord, we are reminded of the foundational truths of our lives, of who our God is, of who our Lord and our Savior is, of what makes us a people, of what we are invited to in you and what you are doing among us. And so we are so thankful for this time. We pray not only that it would be a holy one, but it would be a time that would, Lord, lead the rest of all our other times, this week and every week, that more and more we would live the life as your people, as a Christian people, as disciples of Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, we thank you for your presence here this morning and for this time together. In Jesus' name, amen.
I bow before you, O gracious God, in humbleness of heart, offering this, my prayer of repentance, for us, your people. I pray in repentance this morning of our addiction to violence as the ultimate way to settle our problems. From our video games and our movies, to the guns, to our resistance to gun control, and to the huge amounts of money that we spend. To have the defense mechanisms and the weapons through the military. I pray, God, that you would hear this, my repentance for us, your people, for our addiction to violence. Send the Prince of Peace to forgive us. I repent, O God, for the great idolatry of wealth that we, as your people, have been tempted to. And I repent of the greed that it often brings with it, from our lottery games to the selfishness, thinking it's our money, not yours, from our lack of generosity and our desire to have more and more and more and think that it's going to fix it. For thinking we are defined by the money we have. And therefore we are defined if we don't have wealth. I pray, O God, that did not have a place to lay his head, that you would forgive us of our idolatry of money and wealth. O gracious God, I repent on this day for us, your people, and our obsession with sex and the unhappy sexuality that it so much brings. From pornography and prostitution, sex trafficking and sex slavery, from sex that becomes associated with a power play that oftentimes victimizes those with less power. And for our distortion of sex that leads to sexual abuse, and especially abuse that occurs by clergy and priests, teachers and others that are supposed to protect our children. I repent, O God of holiness, for our obsession with sex. And I repent this morning, O gracious God, for your people. I repent our arrogance of our political affiliations, from our bragging about our side being right and our tendency to demonize the other side, our narrowness in thinking there is only our way and anything else is wrong. I pray, God, in humility this morning, that you would help us find a new way. That the great reconciler, the one who brought us back to you, would help us find a way that we might disagree in respect and communicate in graciousness, even when we are mostly heavily invested in our ideas. And O great God, help us to know we are more than our ideas. This I pray this morning in the name of Jesus Christ, who upon the cross forgave me and forgave all of us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you so much, Larry, and church, that we can pray a prayer like that together and be honest about where we are and our own brokenness and sin. It's a powerful thing, and it's a beautiful thing to get to be a part of a church community that's able to be honest with ourselves and with our God. We have a little problem with our computer this morning. We don't have the scripture slides, and I apologize for that. You're welcome to get out your Bible, as always, if that is helpful you to visually read it. The text is Matthew chapter 18. Verses 15 to 19, or you can just listen to me. Is that right?
You did.
Sarah did herself. Look at that. Way to go, Sarah. Thank you. Look at that. That's extra credit this morning. That wasn't there this morning. She just got it there. Well, thank you, Sarah. It is on the screen. So anyway, ignore what I was just saying. Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 to 19. If your brother or sister sins against you, go and point out their fault, just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over. But if they will not listen, take one or two others along, so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I tell you, that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. This is the word of God for the people of God. Well, friends, as we continue in this sermon series, trying to live into this invitation from God to engage in healthy relationships with one another, I'm excited to get to, in my opinion, you could argue this is really the meat of the biggest aspect that divides us in the church. And that's just the reality that we get hurt. And we have to learn to be a people that recognize how we can respond after we hurt others or we get hurt. So I want to start off by making sure we're all on the same page about what we're talking about here this morning. When I say hurt, I'm not talking about physically hurt. I'm talking about those emotional pains that we experience in the midst of life. And I just want to start off by making sure that we're all on the same page, because I think for some of us, this is harder to acknowledge. We pretend that this isn't true of us, but I really do think, if we're honest deep down, we all sometimes get hurt, right? We all sometimes have somebody say something to us, and whether it's how they meant it or not, it rubs us the wrong way, it brings up something in us that we care about deeply and that it seems like it didn't take seriously, or it has a different understanding of us than we want to have of ourselves, or all kinds of different ways this happens. I mean, sometimes, right, somebody says something and it triggers something that we experienced a really long time ago that they could have never even known, and yet it's still really painful for us. I mean, this happens as human beings. We get hurt. So I just want to be honest about that we all get hurt, and sometimes we hurt one another. I think it's often unintentional, but it's just true that sometimes we say something and whatever we were meaning, the way it comes to and feels and hurt hits another person, it hits them in a painful way and they're hurt by it. This is part of the human experience. And it's part of the human experience that I don't think there's a way that I know of that's gonna automatically change that or altogether change that. We hurt, and we sometimes hurt one another. It's part of what it is to be human. But man, is it hard for us sometimes to just acknowledge that we've been hurt and then to share that hurt with our God and with one another? I've been trying to grow in this, so I've been trying to think about it in my own life more and more. And I'll tell you, friends, there's something deep within me. I don't know if you all can relate to this, where when I get hurt by somebody else, when somebody says something that just, it hits me the wrong way and it hurts my feelings, there's this part of me that wants to pretend like I'm somehow impenetrable and it didn't hurt, and that no, I couldn't have ever been hurt, and just move right past it and sort of pretend it didn't happen. And I'll tell you, most often when I do that, it doesn't really work so well. What happens is, the hurt is still at work within me, and so then I treat them differently, and I'm a little bit less patient with them, or I say something hurtful back, or I respond in frustration or in anger. And so I tried to pretend in my mind that I wasn't hurt, but it shows that I really was. And maybe I could have had a different outcome if I would have just been honest about that with myself first, probably, and then honest with God, and then, as this text invites us to, honest with this other person. So friends, we do hurt, and it's hard for us to share that hurt, but it's part of the human experience. So I hope that's part of what we're going to be invited into today, is just being honest about that reality and knowing that, hey, we can go out and live boldly and live with love because we know that, yeah, this is just part of what we are going to experience. We're going to experience hurt, and yet we have a God who will heal us and will show us a process for healing. I want to spend a little bit of time on something that is really important in the life of any congregation and community and in the life of the church, and that's the reality that we all have pain that comes from unhealed hurts or unhealed wounds that really have never been reconciled or dealt with, and then time has eclipsed and elapsed, and those pains have continued and in some ways grown. One of the things that I do as a part of my job is sometimes I'm supposed to be in a ministry of reconciliation, and so I'll be between two parties who have some sort of a conflict. And one of the hardest things that happens, sometimes, is that we've got a relationship where they've got years of what I'm calling unhealed hurts. And all I mean by that is that something has happened or things have happened a long time ago that were never directly addressed and never even probably acknowledged, at least directly to the other party. And instead, those pains continue to kind of fester and grow within a person or within both people. Usually what it leads to is there's a lack of trust in that relationship. Usually what it's meant is that in between those two people, that over the years, when one person would share something, the other person interpreted it the worst way or the most negative way instead of the benefit of the doubt in the most positive way. And so a relationship that continues like that, you could imagine it gets harder and harder and worse. And so then usually the reason I'm there is because it's led to some level of, you know, conflict that it's come out in some way. And there's some sort of deep pain where we can't do ministry together or be in relationship with one another because that has festered for so long. And I'll tell you, when that's my experience and that's what we're dealing with, it's really challenging. I mean, those types of relationships and unhealed pains, they usually don't get healed in one conversation or one prayer together or one time. God can do that, and that has happened, but honestly, much more often, we go, okay, we've got to start a whole process of a new relationship and of reconciliation here, and it's not going to happen overnight. And so it's always challenging when that's happened, because it's a lot to peel back, right? When you look back and you go, man, I've maybe misinterpreted this person for years or seen them in the most negative way, and that maybe wasn't appropriate. It's hard to just undo that. And so this is not a positive thing when this happens in our life, but I'll also tell you, friends, that one of the privileges I get to see is the times when people are willing to go through something like that. They've had that kind of a broken relationship, and they've come to God, and they've come to one another, and they've said, hey, I care about you enough, and I care about God's mission for the life of this church, and I care about having a true Christian relationship enough that I'm going to be honest, and we're going to go through this process, and we're going to work to forgive one another, and it's work to forgive one another when you've been hurt by them for years. But I'm going to do this, and I'm going to ask God to put forgiveness in my heart and to help me understand better and give you the benefit of the doubt and see you in a different light and to love you even as God loves me. And so, friends, when I've gotten to see that, and I've gotten to see it many times, it's one of the most beautiful experiences I can have in ministry, is seeing a new relationship come, seeing that kind of love formed between people who had a broken relationship and who'd had that kind of pain. And so it's always worth it, in my opinion, to go to God and to seek this type of reconciliation and healing. And it's a wonderful thing that happens. And I hope one of the things that's happening in the life of this church is that some of that will happen. And I'm hoping that some people will be able to come, excuse me, to one another directly and say, I just got to tell you, I've got some stuff from our relationship that I've been carrying for a while, and I want to get past that, and I want that to be healed, and I want to be able to be in a stronger relationship with you in a deeper community in the life of this church. I hope that that's something that's going to happen more and more in the life of this congregation, because it has to happen. The hurt part, I know, happens, and so the reconciliation part is what has to happen as well. And so I'm so excited that we have a God who's going to give us a process for this kind of healing. Now, I want to spend a little bit of time in the scripture because there's one clarification that I think is very important right up front, and then I think we can use the scripture in the way that's appropriate in the life of our church. One is, the clarification is that there is a specific type of situation that the gospel writer has in mind here. I think it's clear if we study it more closely, that what's being talked about is the most serious kind of sin. So this process, I don't believe, has in mind the kinds of things that I'm thinking are happening much more often in the life of this church. Things like we happen to be in the same room and somebody says something and it really hurts somebody else's feeling and it wasn't even intentional that what was said hurts their feelings. That's the kind of thing that I think is happening much more often in our lives where we get hurt by one another. I don't think most often it's these really, really serious level of sins. Because that level of sin, I don't know if you got more into study that more closely, what was being talked about there was if they weren't able to repent of that sin, that there was going to be excommunication. We were talking about people being completely kicked out of the church and you're no longer a part of our church community. That's, I don't think, the kind of process that we're meant to engage in for every single individual time that one of us gets hurt. So I think it's important to be aware of that and to be clear about our understanding of the scripture today. But I think what is something that applies much more generally and universally is where do we go? I'm going to look at the scripture again because it's right off the bat. Your brother or sister sins against you. Go and point out their fault. Who are they talking about? Go directly to them. This is an invitation to direct relationship. To when we hurt one another, to be able to go and engage that person directly. I know this is going to sound like relationships 101, but friends, we still need this 101 course. Because I'll tell you, it's still the case in the life of every church that I know of, including this one, is that sometimes we don't do this. Sometimes, and I get why, because I do it too sometimes, it's much easier to go to somebody else and say, you know what this person said to me, or can you believe this person? Instead of going directly to the person who has hurt us. And it's a world of difference what is possible in each with the path you choose there. If we go to the choice of gossip and what's called triangulation, where we go to somebody else to try to fix it, then no longer can that relationship be healed among us. And we've relied on somebody else, and in some way we've said to somebody, you're not even able to be in relationship with me because I didn't even give you a chance to fix it. I went and complained to somebody else. I couldn't talk to you about it directly. And that's where usually things get more and more painful. We go down a really challenging course in the life of the church when gossip is a describing factor of who we are. Instead, we need to become a people who are able to go to the person directly first and say, hey, this hurt. You know, you may or may not have intended it, but when you said this, it hurt me. That's a tough conversation to have. It means that we're vulnerable. It means that we're acknowledging our own brokenness. It means that we're saying, we're giving somebody an opportunity to hopefully work toward healing, but maybe they're not going to. So that's hard. I don't mean to try to give the impression that's not hard, but I believe that the scripture is an example of one of the ways God calls us to say, go directly to people. We got to get that part right first. And then another thing that I think is really beautiful about this text and about really our whole scripture is that there's an understanding of who we are as a people of God, that we understand ourselves first as a part of God's church and God's community. When we pray the prayer that Pastor Larry just led us in, what are the first couple words of the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, right? Our. We start with the first person plural. We pray this as God's church, as a part of the community. We don't pray my Father, do we? We say our Father. We already identify ourselves and understand ourselves first as a part of something bigger, as a part of a community. For me, that is a real gift and a real challenge. That, to be honest with you, sometimes that's not how I first understand myself. Sometimes I first think of myself just as John Snape, and I just have my own relationship with God. And I'm not first, my first posture sometimes is not, I'm a part of this community, I'm a part of God's church. I'm a Christian of God's people, of the body of Christ. So this is a real invitation, I believe, to become a people who have a different understanding than many people do in this world, a world of individualism. And instead we become a people who first understand ourselves as an hour, as a community, as a people of faith. I think that's crucial as we become a people who are able to experience hurt together and grow through that and see the healing that God intends for us as we do that. Another important starting point that we have is our understanding of God. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time here because I'm confident that this is the understanding of God that we know. We have a God who knows us and understands us, and a God who gets what's going on within us, right? And so usually when we're hurt, right, it's some level of something deeper or something complicated or something that goes back or some sort of a misunderstanding, whether it's we're misunderstanding what somebody else is saying, or we're feeling hurt because somebody else is misunderstanding us, or sometimes we don't even understand it. We don't even know why something bothered us, and yet it did hurt us. And so usually these things are messy, and we're talking about matters of the heart, and it can't all just be written out on paper perfectly why something hurt. And yet it did, right? And we know that it did. And so it is such a beautiful starting point that we know that we have a God who knows our every word, our every thought, who understands our every emotion, who knows where this came from and knows what's going on inside of us, even sometimes when we don't know. What a source of strength and hope that we can, and really I hope confidence, that we know that we have a God who understands us and thus can heal us and knows what we need and knows why we're hurting and will love us right in the midst of those things. And so that I hope is the starting point for many of us as we try to be people who deal with the hurt that we experience and who experience the God of healing. But I'll tell you, friends, it's important for me that we don't stop there, because I think a lot of people stop there. In fact, I think this happens a lot of times for all of us, including myself, in this life, and it happens for a lot of us that are not in the church this morning, is that we think, okay, yeah, this is how it works. Other people don't get me. Other people hurt me. God gets me. God heals me. And so I don't really like people, but I love God. I do not believe the Christian life. That's not what Scripture is inviting us to, and that's not what God's doing in the life of our church right now, is to have that approach to life. That, oh yeah, I'm just going to forget about one another, I'm going to forget about all these other people because they hurt me, they caused me pain, and I'm just going to focus on God, and I'm going to ignore all these people. Friends, we don't get to do that. That's not what this life, abundant life in Jesus Christ is about. In fact, when Jesus was asked what the greatest commandment was, he gave two, because he said you can't separate them, right? You have to love God and you have to love one another. And if you're not loving one another, you're not loving God, and vice versa. And so we can't become a people who think that our lives and our Christian lives are only about our relationship with God. Of course, that is a key and really the first relationship, but right closely second is our relationships with one another. And so we can't live those lives. In fact, I think for many of us, we've experienced that with people outside the church, right? We've experienced that with people who are being genuine when they say that they love God, or they have a spiritual life, or that they have an active prayer life, but they say, I could do without Christians, or I could do without the church, or I could do without the people. They're saying it because they know that God understands them and heals them, and then they kind of stop there. And friends, I think God has more for us. I think the abundant life in Jesus Christ is not something just about that vertical relationship. I think God is doing something beautiful within us as a community, as relationships between humans is a major part of what God is doing and inviting us to in Jesus Christ. So we can't stop there. As beautiful as it is that God understands you and loves you, spend some time there, but don't stop. Keep going past that to this next phase, which I think is our relationships with one another. And so I'm going to spend the rest of the sermon time talking about what I'm calling practicing forgiveness, because I think forgiveness is something that takes practice. It's something that takes time. It's something that we grow in. But I hope it's a process that we see as fundamental to the Christian life and to what God is doing among us, is that we are a people who are seeking to practice forgiveness. Is that a way that you often understand yourself in your Christian life, of something that you're trying to grow in? I'll tell you, oftentimes that's not the first thing I think of. But I think it needs to be a higher priority for us that we say, yeah, I want to be a person who's practicing forgiveness, who's growing in my ability to forgive the people around me who hurt me and who learned to live a life of forgiveness. For me, as I practice forgiveness, where it starts for me is looking at Jesus and looking specifically at my Savior on the cross and thinking about what that means, that I have a Savior who never sinned, and yet experienced death on the cross because of love for all of us. For me, that puts me in a certain kind of a posture when I recognize that we have a God who would do anything, give everything, that we would know God's love, that we would experience God's forgiveness, and be able to have those kind of relationships. So for me, it starts there, and what a gift it is, right? That we've been hurt, you get hurt, and you're feeling, you know, the different ways that we feel after we get hurt. Sometimes it's insecure, sometimes it's frustrated. And to look to our Savior and remember what He has done for us and who He is, for me, moves us to a place where we're in some ways given a greater perspective on those hurts that are real and they're painful, and yet we have a bigger perspective when we've looked to the cross. And then something that I hope is happening as we do that is that we grow in humility. You all heard me use that word last week that we're here. I think that is an absolutely key word in the Christian life, is that we become a people who grow in humility. I have a friend in college who I looked up to who talked about what he understood as the best way to grow in likeness of Christ. We were all trying to be like, how do we become more like Jesus? You know, how do we answer the question, what would Jesus do more and more in our lives? And he said he thought it was less about becoming people who sin less, who can check off different things off the mark and say, I don't do this kind of sin anymore. I don't do this kind of sin anymore. He said that's probably not really the best way to go about it. Instead, he understood humility as those people who are growing in our understanding of our great need, our great reliance upon God's grace. I want to be a person who more and more doesn't live this life thinking that I've got it all together, but instead a person who more and more realizes the depths of my own sin, the depths of my own brokenness, and how much I just need God's grace, how much I need God's forgiveness, how much I need God's healing. I think as we grow in that, we are growing in our likeness of Christ, and we are growing in humility. Something that I'm confident that we're going to experience as that happens, as that posture changes, as our identity changes, as community first people, as we're able to be people who look to the Savior and are able to share our hurts directly and start to practice forgiveness with one another, is that we're going to experience healing in profound ways. We're going to experience the peace of Christ that in some ways we didn't realize we were even lacking. But boy, is it a different thing to walk into a room and feel united with the people that you're with, and not to feel like you have these painful gaps or these misunderstandings or these hurts that you haven't identified or acknowledged out loud, but instead to come into a room and say, man, these are people who I'm able to genuinely love and who are able to love me honestly, and we can really care about one another. There is a peace that comes in that. And I believe there's a deep freedom from this life. I think there's a deep freedom from knowing that, yeah, we get hurt. We're human. Sometimes we're going to say things and we're going to be misunderstood. And sometimes somebody else is going to say something and it's going to hurt us and it's going to rub us the wrong way and it's going to bother us. But it's okay, because we're going to be able to be healed from that. And we have a God who's able to heal us and who's going to be able to help us to learn, know one another better, and to have a deeper relationship through that. And we're going to be able to reconcile when those things happen between one another, and God can work just between us. And we're going to be able to be changed. I mean, friends, have you experienced that kind of forgiveness in your life with another person? My experience is that if not the relationship is even back to how it was before, it's usually that it's even better in my experience. Because we've now gone through something like that, we've gone through some sort of experience, and we've respected one another enough and cared for one another enough that we were able to engage it directly and be healed and forgive one another and go on and live together. In my experience, that's a strengthened relationship. It's a relationship that is even better than it was before. We know that, hey, it might happen again and we'll be okay. We can endure that and we can live through that and we can even grow from that, because we have a God who heals us and a God who will work with us and a God who will teach us how to forgive and heal our hearts and help us to love one another in a new way. I think one of the things that we'll experience as we practice this, as we practice forgiveness with one another, is we're a more grateful people. We're people who are more aware that God is at work in our lives and the ways that God is working in our hearts and working between us. I think we'll be a people who are more grateful because we're more aware of the many ways that we fall short, and yet God still works things out and helps us to go on and to live together and to serve God and to be in ministry together and to grow in our relationships. And we become more aware of our own faults and how awesome it is that people forgive us. And we go, man, I mess up every day and I say things every day that somebody's gonna that's gonna hurt somebody, and yet they still are willing to be in the church with me and still care about me and wanna be friends with me. I think we'll be a more grateful people. I hope we'll be a people who are more able to love, who are able to love one another more quickly and more deeply. You know, we say that the Christian life is all about a life of love, loving God and one another, and yet for many of us that's really hard. And we know that to love is to be vulnerable and it's to put our emotions out there. It's hard enough for many of us to love just a few people in that way, and so then to broaden that to more and more people who maybe have, you know, either even bigger gaps between us in terms of all kinds of different opinions or backgrounds or whatever, many things that are different between us, and to become a people who are able to love more quickly and more deeply, what a gift it is. And we know that that is the source of so much joy in this life. For me, I realize when we've been going through this series how often it's true that I try to be the author of my own happiness. I think that if I, you know, come up with new things and new ways of living and new habits, that somehow I'm going to find happiness myself and make it make my own. And friends, I think one of the things that's deeply fundamental to what we're going to experience and what we've already experienced in the life of this community and the life of what God has for us in healthy relationships is that we become a people who realize that so often the joy that God has for us is among us, it's between us, it's within our relationships. And we really do know this deep down to be true, right? I mean, for so many of us, when you get asked the question of what are the happiest you've ever been or what's the greatest joy you've ever felt, almost all of us start talking about things that happened with other people, right? Even if it's something that we accomplished ourselves, even if it's when we had our greatest athletic success or our greatest academic success or career success or whatever, even if it was something like that, usually it's connected in part because of the people who were a part of it or the ways that we think we made somebody else happy or proud. More often, it's not even something like that, right? More often, it's something that we got to do together with a group of friends or with other family members, or it's a source of pride of something somebody else did that we cared about and we invested in and something that they accomplished and something that we saw change or something great happen. Those are usually, I think, at least in my life and I think in most of our lives, the greatest sources of our joy. And so friends, I believe that the abundant life that there is for us in Jesus Christ is going to come right in the midst of the reality of our humanity, in the reality of our hurts and our brokenness as people, that God has something for us. God has healing. God even has peace and joy and freedom for us and ultimately love for us right there, right in the midst of when we hurt, because God has a process for us where we get to forgive one another and experience our God of forgiveness. So friends, I hope that this sermon, like the rest of the sermons in the series, isn't something that we hear and just think about. I hope it's something that we say, I need to put this into practice, and we ask God the question of, what are those things that maybe I've carried on to, that where I've been hurt and where I haven't acknowledged it, and where maybe there's an opportunity here, an invitation from God for something new, for some experience of reconciliation, for a deepened life, a deepened connection with your community and with another church member or another person in your life. Friends, our God understands what it is to be human. Our God understands that we get hurt, we fall short, and we have needs. And our God comes to us and heals us and invites us into a new kind of community and a new kind of life, defined by love, defined by freedom, defined by healing and reconciliation. In the name of the Father, and Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Friends, go in peace. Go loving one another, loving God of forgiveness. Amen.